Chapter 17. The Blasphemy. The deadly blade, perfectly aimed for a quick kill, stopped short. There the scimitar held, and the wielder quivered. His mind screamed at him that it was a trick, but his thoughts could not overrule his heart, and his heart showed him something he could not strike, because Drizzt could not strike Catti Bree. He heard Jarlaxle and Treri approaching from behind and glanced to regard them. When he turned back, as they rushed up to join him, Matron Mother Jyndia was gone. "Where is she?" Jarlaxle asked frantically. "Did you wound her?" Treri demanded. Drizzt blinked and shook his head, though obviously not in response. Jarlaxle pushed past him into the deep alcove, throwing glittering dust out in front of him, an enchanted spray that would reveal all the alcove's secrets to him. He noted no traps, no more glyphs, but at the far end, the lines of a secret door were clear to see. "Go," Treri bade him, but Jarlaxle shook his head and spun back. "To Doerden," he said, and tossed Twinkle, which he had recovered in the war room, back to Drizzt. "Alce M'Lorn is out of the war, at least. Her priestesses are slain, and Jyndia cannot replace them quickly enough to resume the fight." "She will likely resurrect them," Treri argued. "And we will be long gone from this city by then," Jarlaxle countered, pushing past and starting back the way they had come. He paused, though, and closed his eyes, considering the layout of the strange house and the forces they had left behind, trapped behind the magically stuck bronze doors. He started off the other way, along the curving corridor. And Treri snarled and spat, not thrilled with leaving a nearly defeated Matron Mother M'Lorn behind, but he moved to follow. Then he paused long enough to grab Drizzt, who seemed almost incoherent in that strange moment, and drag him along. Matron Mother Jyndia stumbled into her private chambers. Her sparkling red eyes aptly reflected the red wall of anger that coursed through her. "Sornafane!" she called, seeking her patron, her plaything, a handsome musician who would often help her sort through her volatile, careening thoughts and find a proper course. And Matron Mother Jyndia had a lot to think about at that moment. Six of her priestesses were dead, and only she and Kernel had escaped. She flinched as she considered the image of Kernel so quickly departing the battle, then grimaced more as her memory took her to the other side of the table, where that human intruder had jammed a dagger into the eye of Priestess Yajin M'Lorn, Jyndia's only daughter, whom Jyndia had recalled from her studies at Arak Tinnilith simply so that she could witness the glory of an inter-house war. Jyndia had been trying to groom Yajin to succeed her, perhaps even above Kirnal, and certainly if Jyndia outlived the former matron mother of House Kennefin. She resolved to ask Lolth's blessing in resurrecting Yajin. She did not wish to begin anew her efforts. "Sornafane," she called again, growing angrier by the moment. What was taking him so long? The handsome patron stumbled out of the side room then and fell to his knees. He stayed there gasping, eyes far too wide, hands slapping at his throat as if he could not draw enough breath. Jyndia started for him, but fell back when a young woman strode out of the side room to stand beside the kneeling Sornafane. This creature, Jyndia did not know her, held a rope in her hand and tugged it casually. Another woman, this one old and emaciated, a battered thing indeed, came crawling out to kneel on the other side of the young one, who dropped a hand and gently stroked the hair of the withered old thing as one might do to a pet dog. Up came Jyndia's hands in the beginnings of a spell. "Halt!" the young woman demanded. And the weight of the command slapped Jyndia across the face as surely as a heavy punch and sent her staggering backward several steps. "I am not your enemy, Matron Mother Jyndia," the young woman said, "though you would be wise to never consider me a friend." The proud and volatile Jyndia growled and began casting once more, and again the young woman yelled, "Halt!" and magically slapped her across the face. Again Jyndia staggered under the weight of the magical blow, but this time she came up in a charge, her snake-headed scourge in hand. The young woman, so incredibly beautiful, merely smiled. That alerted Jyndia, and she led her charge with another spell, one that wasn't interrupted, one that would dispel any defenses this impudent young creature had enacted. Or it should have, at least. Shindia realized it hadn't when she was flying backward, thrown by the power of a repulsion spell. She hit the far wall hard, shocked by the bared might that she, a matron mother, had been so casually thrown aside by this intruder drow priestess who could not have yet lived a quarter of a century. Common sense told matron mother Shindia to opt for discussion then, but her outrage would not allow it. She still leaned heavily on the wall, but turned to glare at the intruder and stubbornly returned the wicked grin. She realized that her spell, though unsuccessful, had not been interrupted. "You have exhausted your commands, I see," she said, and she launched into another spell. "Halt!" the young woman cried, and Shindia felt that stinging slap across her face. "Halt!" she said again and again and again, and each time brought a painful, stinging slap, sending Shindia into a turn one way and then the other. It went on for many heartbeats, many incantations, many slaps, and when it ended, it took Shindia a long while to even realize that she wasn't being magically slapped any longer. "I am the favorite of Loth," she growled, and she clawed at the wall to regain her footing, stubbornly turning to face her adversary squarely, and noted then that the young woman was quietly spellcasting. Matron Mother Shindia howled and leaped forward, but too late. The young priestess finished her incantation, throwing one hand out to Shindia, the other reaching for the kneeling Sornafane. Shindia saw her patron go flying aside, his skin erupting in brutal wounds as he bounced to the floor and lay face down, blood pooling around him. Then she too felt the stab of the powerful spell. It slammed her back against the wall and opened a deep gash from her shoulder down across her chest to her opposite hip. She gasped and crumpled to her knees, staring in disbelief. "I am in the favor of Loth," she said, blood dripping with every word.
"Apparently so am I," the young woman replied.
"Who are you?"
"Someone you will come to know, I assure you," the woman replied. "Unless, of course, your stubbornness forces me to utterly destroy you here and now. I expect that Colonel will not be displeased, at least."
Shindia fell to all fours and spat blood onto the floor.
"You are out of the fight with House Doerden," the young woman stated. "By order of Matron Mother Bayenry, by order of Lady Loth."
There it was, a name to enrage Shindia once again. Fire burned in her eyes as she snapped her head up to glare at the intruder. But her outrage became confusion as she noted a third drow enter, a naked woman who smiled at her and addressed her with great familiarity.
"Enough, Shindia," she said in a watery voice, one that triggered Jindia's recollection. "There is more afoot than you can know."
"Yukadaria?"
Shindia whispered. She saw Yukadaria turn her attention to the young priestess, who shrugged. The handmaiden scowled and motioned for the priestess to proceed. With a resigned sigh, she did so, and Shindia felt waves of healing magic flooding through her. Glorious magic that sealed her wounds and those of Sornafane, she could tell from the man's relieved groans.
"Her attitude annoys me," the young priestess said to Yukadaria.
"Enough, Ivanel,"
the handmaiden replied, and Matron Mother Jindia's eyes widened at the mention of that name.
"You are done here."
"She is out of the fight," Ivanel said, pointing to the vanquished matron mother of House Malarn.
"She is out of the fight," the handmaiden agreed. "She will turn her attention to the fallen priestesses in her war room."
She stared directly at Shindia.
"Perhaps Lady Loth will see fit to grant you some powers of resurrection."
"Perhaps not,"
Ivanel added with a laugh. And she and the handmaiden retreated into the side room, the withered old woman crawling behind them. The finality of the slamming door was not lost on the shaken matron mother Shindia. Their movements were too swift and too coordinated as they careened along the curving corridors of House Malarn. Most of the remaining priestesses had run for the war room, trying to save those not yet quite dead, or were even then banging on the door of Matron Mother Jindia's private quarters. House Malarn was not strong with wizards, and most, like House Wizard Ilstrov, were too concerned with simply maintaining the supporting web structure
to focus on the battles Zhindia chose to fight, and all of them, especially Ildstrov, had been wary of going against House Doerden from the beginning. It was no secret that the Zorlarans were infiltrating and dominating the fledgling house, and Sabrak Zorlaran had just been named as Archmage of Menzo Baranzon. So that left the warriors, and those drow who encountered Drizzt and his two companions were sent fleeing almost immediately, overwhelmed. Many of the famed Malarni Driders were off to House Doerden, many but not all, and not the newest of them. It was the newest Drider, Braylon, who at last stood between Jarlaxle and the others and the exit from House Malarn. Drizzt and Entreri broke left and right, Drizzt rolling to his feet with Tall Maril in hand, but Jarlaxle in the middle was first to act. "Hold your shot," he ordered Drizzt. And Drizzt nearly paid with his life for complying as the Drider heaved a javelin at his head. A second roll got him clear. "Braylon!" Jarlaxle yelled. "Oh, Braylon!" To the left, Entreri sucked in his breath, recognizing the Brigandiaerth warrior. The bigger question loomed, however. Did Braylon recognize himself? It didn't seem that way when he charged forward, a heavier spear in hand. He thrust the weapon at Jarlaxle, and the mercenary had to retreat fast, calling to him plaintively all the while. "He cannot understand you," Entreri said, moving around to the Drider's right flank, Drizzt coming to Braylon's left. "It is not Braylon, no more." "Take him," said Drizzt. "You will be doing him a favor," Entreri added. Jarlaxle cast a primitive stare over his former scout, his former friend. He could not dispel this kind of magic, and he could never reach the drow known as Braylon trapped inside the horrible form. To do so would ensure a most terrible death for Braylon. The new identity of a Drider was the only defense from memories too awful to be survived. "Ah, Braylon, my friend," he said quietly, dodging back as the Drider came on fearlessly. "I fear this will prove my greatest gift to you of all." And with that, Jarlaxle nodded. Karin's claw took a Drider leg, and before Braylon even tipped that way, a lightning arrow hit him in the back of the neck. He stumbled and swerved, seven legs skittering wildly to keep him upright, his head lolling from side to side. A second arrow plunged into his back, and Treri got underneath enough to prod Karin's claw into the Drider's spidery belly, spilling ichor. Braylon tumbled against the wall and folded over, struggling mightily but futilely. Drizzt put the bow up and Entreri backed away, both allowing Jarlaxle to move in for the final blow. "Ah, Braylon," the mercenary said, kicking aside the spear and moving in close to regard his old companion. The Drider grabbed at him, even got his hands around Jarlaxle's throat, but only until Jarlaxle's fine-edged sword sliced into Braylon's heart. Jarlaxle stood up and gave a sigh. Noise down the corridor behind revealed pursuit, and so the three ran off, out the door and onto the web bridges that fronted House Malarn. They didn't descend, and if they had, they would have found an organized ambush awaiting them. "Use the emblems," Jarlaxle instructed. When the three were able to levitate, the mercenary led them off along the western wall of the great cavern, toward the sound of fighting on the balconies of House Doerden. Back by the doorway on the bridge of webs, the Drider heaving his dying breaths beneath them. Ivanel and Yikadaria watched the three depart. Behind them, studying the dying abomination, Kjorl seemed quite amused. "The champion battle should be singular," the handmaiden instructed, and Ivanel nodded. "That human has been in the city before," said Yikadaria.
"I know from the memories of the Eternal. He is Artemis Entreri."
"It is a small world after all," said Yikardaria, "and one rich with the simple beauty of coincidence." Ivanel looked at her curiously. "Artemis Entreri," the handmaiden prompted. "There is history with House Horlbar." Ivanel got the reference then and chuckled. "So you have not forgotten?" Ivanel laughed louder.
"Beautiful indeed," she replied. "In his escape from Menzo Baranzon those many years ago, 13 decades and more, Artemis Entreri had encountered one of the two matron mothers of House Horlbar,
a woman named Jurley's, and had promptly and efficiently dispatched her. Jurley's Horlbar was Matron Mother Jindia Malarn's mother.
Matron Mother Jindia's daughter, the young priestess Yajin, was in the bloodied war room, Yukardaria explained, and she too fell to Artemis Entreri.
And Loth will not allow her resurrection?
Loth cannot.
That brought a surprised look from Ivanel.
The human carries a most awful and effective dagger, Yukardaria explained. Matron Mother Jindia will learn that there is nothing left of Yajin, no soul to resurrect.
Ivanel nodded and looked at the now distant departing trio.
And Colonel will be in the room before Jindia, no doubt, she said. Perhaps Jindia will blame her rival for her inability to bring back her dead daughter.
Chaos is a beautiful thing, said the handmaiden, full of excitement, the very edge of existence.
Ivanel looked back and stuttered. Yukardaria had become again a Yoklulun form, ugly and without symmetry, tentacles waving and dripping ooze.
We will be watching with great amusement, Yukardaria promised in her bubbly, watery, mud-filled voice, and with that she melted away.
Ivanel light-stepped past the puddle of abyssal mud left in the departing Yoklul's wake, back into the corridor.
Come, my pet, she told Kjorl. I will give you the image of House Duerden and show you where to bring us.
As Kjorl began to fall within herself, within her psionic powers, a death rattle issued from crumpled Braylon.
Wait, ordered Ivanel.
She moved fast to the drider and began casting, and in moments Braylon's breath came easier as Ivanel healed his mortal wounds. And then Ivanel did something else, something she wasn't supposed to do, something she wasn't supposed to be able to do, and Kjorl gasped in recognition and in horror. Even she understood the blasphemy and the sheer power.